Henry. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia, September 13, 1899. Dear Sister Henry, I have a short time in which to trace you a few lines. I am always pleased to hear from you at any time. My mind is perplexed as to how we shall build our sanitarium. In company with Dr. Caro and others, we have been looking for a site outside the city boundary. We must have some acres of land, but this we seem unable to obtain. We are praying and submitting the case to the Lord. I receive letters congratulating me upon the donations which came to us from the last General Conference. If this had only been true, we could have gone straight forward. But the trouble is that only $3,000 was raised for Australia at that conference, and this had to be divided among the different important interests. Word still comes to advance, and we shall try to do so, notwithstanding the fact that no help has come in response to our appeals. The Lord understands the whole situation, and I lay my burden upon the burden-bearer. The light given me is that we must plant the standard where the truth has never been proclaimed. This we have been doing, and we shall continue to lift the standard and give the last message of warning to the world. The word continues to come. In the name of the Lord, advance. The Lord will honor the faith of those who trust Him. God has called upon you to make your appeal, to show that you are worthy of the sacred trust which He has in His providence conferred upon you. God is testing the principles that move His people to action. Having adopted a right principle of action, reverence and obey it. Let it appear that you make it the law of your life, from which no temptation can swerve you. It is the life of the people of God to proclaim and act out heavenly principles. God has given you wisdom, as a lamp for your feet in a dark path. Come what will, though heaven and earth pass away, hold fast to the light given, that not one jot or tittle of the principles God has laid before you be marred or dishonored. God accepts nothing less than absolute surrender of the mind, the heart, the will, the strength, the entire being, to His control. The Lord can guide. His voice will be heard in reproof, in warning, and in encouragement. Then there will be brought into the work a power which comes alone from God, simplifying all the movements of the life of the soul. This is as a thread of gold, binding man to God. Let those who are working upon wrong principles, whether with apparent failure or apparent success, remember that God never changes. His attributes are ever on the side of righteousness and truth. He can pluck down. He can build up. In full view of the world, let your voice and pen testify that God is truth, and that in Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Word of God is the standard of character. That word does not repress activity. It opens before the conscientious soul, who is striving to honor his Savior, channels for activity. The word does not leave men in uncertainty or without an object. It gives the highest object, which is worthy of the cooperation of the Holy Spirit. The work of imparting the knowledge of truth, present truth for this time, is the all-important work. All heaven is engaged in it. The truth for this time is not to be lost sight of under an accumulation of interests that are of secondary importance. These are not to be allowed to engross the mind while important issues are not advanced. The Word of God places a lamp in the hand, which lights the path heavenward. It allows of no diversion from the straight and narrow path in which God requires His people to walk. The Word of God tells of unsearchable riches, treasure that is beyond our estimate, to be secured by every soul who will be guided by the Word rather than by human sophistries and principles which eventually divorce the soul from God. There is no safety in departing from one principle which the Word reveals. The soul is to be pervaded by a continual, abiding sense of every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. It is the life of the soul to be sanctified through the truth and to maintain the authority of the truth. Understanding and heart are to be sanctified by the strictest obedience to the Word, and the action and conscience by connection with the pure and sacred springs from which they derive their inspiration. In this age of the world, there is no safety in departing from a plain, "Thus saith the Lord," however wise and correct the human assumption may appear. Tradition in names and books is nothing. God's word is everything. The wisdom of the wisest man that lives is foolishness if it swerves one jot or tittle from the word of the living God. God lives, God reigns, and he declares, "Them that honor me, I will honor." 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. Of those who place their sophistry above a plain, thus saith the Lord, God says, "I will make their wisdom foolishness." In this period of time, there is no safety for the soul who has not a penetration deeper than casual sight. We are called now to reach the highest standard of integrity. It is positively necessary for all who would walk in the straight and narrow path cast up for the ransomed of the Lord to take heed, lest their feet be diverted from the path that leads to success and victory and triumph in the third angel's message. Those who would command the very best resources must walk humbly with God, their hand clasped in the hand of Christ. He who would reach the highest standard of perfection in Christian character must penetrate deeper than habit. He must be afraid lest his natural traits of character, his habits of opinion and authority, shall mislead him. The only safety for the human agent who is striving for an immortal crown is to live in hourly contact, in conscious, loving communion, with the highest principles God has set forth in his word. Truth and righteousness must be inscribed upon every action done for our fellow men. Mercy must constantly flow forth from the soul, revealing an abiding Christ. Sanctified judgment and purified reasoning will give strength and solidity and spiritual power. Then, every cause that asks for our sympathy and cooperation will receive careful consideration. There will be no spasmodic movements made. Sanctified reason must bear sway. Sanctified intellect must make decisions, inquiring into every cause that solicits attention, and then acting with the thought that God will approve. When the holy principles of the Word of God become the ruling element in a man's life, they will lead him to act rightly, not impulsively. There is then an abiding Christ in his heart, whose bidding he obeys, and light and grace flow forth in words and deeds. This is the religion of Jesus Christ. This is the inexhaustible source of the only true species of power which the human agent, sanctified to God, may freely exercise. In the cross of Calvary, we see our liberty, the claim of power that will be safe for us to exercise. Strong, deep sympathies, pure, powerful heavenly principles are the indispensable agencies to be brought into the work for this time. Self, with its baleful results, has figured largely enough. We need now an indwelling Savior who will supply the pure, holy current of love and maintain principles that will inculcate the sum of all righteousness, purity, holiness, and perfect benevolence. This will show that we love God with all the heart and our neighbor as ourselves. The moral taste is to be refined and elevated. Our passions are to be brought under control because we wear the robe of Christ's righteousness. The gospel is to be lived. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance are the fruits borne upon the Christian tree. God help us to be right with him.